Turn to James chapter 2. James chapter 2. Don't worry, I know how late it is and I know how short I'm preaching. Don't have to take a lot of time to say a whole lot of things. James chapter 2, I'll begin reading with verse 14. James chapter 2 and verse 14. My question is simply this for you tonight. What kind of faith do you have? What kind of faith do you have? Everybody has some type of faith. But I'm amazed at how many people that even have been saved for years do not realize or maybe recognize or maybe it's not been told to them or taught to them that there are different types of faith. Now, it may go in a little different direction than what you're thinking tonight, but James is one of those writers that deals a lot with faith. Different New Testament writers seem to key in on key words. When you read the writings of Paul, he deals a lot with faith. But then also, when you get to writers like John, he deals with love. He writes a lot about love. You think about Peter, and Peter wrote a lot about hope. He said he hath begotten us unto a lively hope. So Peter talked a lot about hope. But James is a little different. See, James actually, if I read correctly in the chronological order of the Bible, he probably wrote this some 10 years before Paul ever started writing about faith. And he wrote about works and the combination of the two. I know it'd get quiet. Because you don't hear any sermons about works. But yet, we find out that really, a faith with works is a faith that works. And God's not looking for faith plus works, or really faith with works. He's looking for a faith that works. And that's the kind of faith that you want, working faith. Now, when I read this, there's three types of faith that's mentioned, and I'll point them out to you very quickly. Let's begin with verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding, you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, what's the next two words? Is dead, being alone. Meaning faith without the works. Faith that works is dead if it doesn't have the works accompanying it. Then in verse 18, yea, a man may say, thou hast faith and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. Now notice the next phrase. The devils also, what's the next word? Believe and what? And tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is what? Dead. Back to that dead faith. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by his works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham, what's the next word? Believe God. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. In this passage of Scripture, very quickly, there's three types of faith. The first faith is the most common faith that I see in the ministry. It is called dead faith. Now, I know what you're thinking right now, why would you say that's the most common faith? Well, I think I can prove that to you. Dead faith is faith. Let me put it in terms you can understand. Can I put it in hillbilly terms? Most people and most churches have funeral faith. Now, Jim Lynn, he works for a lot of different directors in the area, and he'll testify what I'm about to say. The job of a good funeral director is to make a dead person look like they're alive. The job of a good funeral director is to make a dead person look natural. So that when you pass by, if they have a viewing, you'll look down and say, my, how natural they look. Or you'll say, it looks just like they're sleeping, but they're dead. The reason that I say I see that more than anything else is because there's people all across the country that come forward to altars or stand up in church gatherings and they say, Christ has saved me. But you couldn't find a search party big enough to find them today. There is more people that make professions of faith that are not in church and not serving God for any reason. And a lot of those people, if you talk to them, they have been deceived by their faith because someone told them, you made this profession of faith, and while that's true, that's part of salvation, but they never really repented of their sins or changed their mind or wanted to be a changed individual. I think so much I wouldn't want to embarrass Terry, but he told me the other day when we talked, he said, preacher, I need something that will change me. That is faith that works. When you come to the Lord and say, Christ has saved me, but you're not changed in any way, your desire's not changed, you go right on doing the same sin you were always doing before you ever met the Lord, there's no change in your love for God, no change in your desire to serve God. It is a dead faith. Just works and no faith. It's just as dead. You go and you talk to people constantly and they think somehow I can do enough good. This is a problem in the church too. A lot of people, they serve the Lord for one thing or one week out of the year. You know, I appreciate your efforts and I appreciate your works. But, you know, don't ever think that you can work a week of Bible school or a week of camp and you're done for a year. You're deceiving yourself. You're trying to say, I have a close relationship with God. And all you're trying to do is say, well, I did something for God. And therefore, I've chalked up enough merits and glory that I'm saved for another year. Oh, no, 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 no. We have church all year long. We have church on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night and revival. I'm telling you, you need a faith that works. Faith that'll put something inside of you to say, I want to serve Jesus every day. I don't know how it is in your life, but I didn't start this race to quit somewhere in the middle of it. And I didn't start it to do just enough to get by. I started this race to make heaven my home and to let people know what I have is alive and has changed my life and made me a new person. I want them to know. Well, I'm in it now. I'll go ahead and let the rubber meet the road. Do you know there's some of you in this church that I have asked your own children, your own brothers, your own sisters, your own parents, are they saved? And they don't know. They don't know that you're saved. Dead faith. Dead faith. It's okay. Get quiet if you want to. I preached alone more times than once. Dead faith. I'm telling you, the thing that means more right now in the Freeland family than anything else is that Irene looked all of her family in the eyes. Is that right, fellas? Looked them in the eye and said, I'm going to heaven and I want you to go with me. I know Jesus and I'm going home and I pray that you're right with God. She doesn't want to doubt that she's saved. Harold looked to his family and after all of his family got in today and he was able to say, I'm going home. That's all that matters. Claude Cremeens, he even brought the ones in that professed Christianity. And he said, I'm not asking, do you say so? I'm asking, do you know so? Do you know that your name's been written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Because I'm going home to be with Jesus. And the only way you're going to see me again is to be saved and know that you're saved. You ought to turn to people every now and then and say, thank God. I'm glad I'm saved, and if we never meet again, you be assured I'll be in heaven. Dead faith. You ever hear this? Oh, I know I'm saved, preacher. I keep the Ten Commandments. Y'all ever deal with anybody like that? Can I give you a piece of advice what to do when you deal with someone like that when they say, I keep the Ten Commandments? Tell them, say, name them. I'll guarantee you they get about 6 or 7. If they get that far, they'll stumble. Most of them say, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. They don't even know them. How can they keep them? And if you do know them, if you offend one, you're guilty of the whole. I better move on. That's not going over too good. Dead faith. There's not only dead faith, but also there's demonic faith. The devils believe and tremble. The devils have faith. Satan believes. See, a lot of people, they say, I believe, but since it's not a faith that works, they have a faith, they have a belief, but it's not a belief that works. I don't know about you, but I don't believe the devil's saved. He ain't saved, is he? But he believes. How many times have you seen people come forward and say, do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus died? Yeah, I believe. Do you believe he rose from the grave? Yeah, I believe. But the fact is, they didn't get to that place where they genuinely repented and said, I need my life turned around and I want you to change my life. That's why you're missing out on this thing. You haven't had the complete assurance that you are sorry for your sin and you want the Lord to change your life. Now, it's not only recorded here. You'll read in Mark chapter 5, Jesus dealt with the demoniac of Gadara. When he dealt with the demoniac of Gadara, and you know, he talked to Legion, the devils. They knew the person of Christ. They said, thou art the most high Son of God. They knew who he was. So they believed and they recognized that Jesus was the Son of God. They believed in the punishment, not only the person of Christ, but the punishment of Christ. A lot of people don't believe that because I'll guarantee you they wouldn't be living like they're living if they really believe Jesus will punish them for their sins. If you believe the Lord will punish you for your sins, you'll live right. Well, where do you get that? Read it when you go home. They said, are you come to torture me or torment me? Have you come to punish me? Let's bear in mind the same Savior of the world is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one day every sin will be brought into account and every wrong will be made right. And every wrong that I've done and you've done that's not under the blood, we'll have to give an account for it and make it right. They believed in the power of Christ. He commanded them to enter into a herd of swine. And they did. Went into a steep place and drowned. So they believed. Satan believes. He believes there's hell. He's been there. He believes that there's heaven. He came from there. He believes not only in hell and heaven, but he believes in the holiness of God. He believes that God is holy. He was the chief musician in the heavens, and he knew what it was to hear constantly, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." He believed that God was holy. He believed that Jesus died on a cross. He was there. He believed that Jesus rose from the grave. He was there. He believed that Jesus conquered death and Jesus took the keys of death and hell. He surrendered them to the Son of God. He believes, but he's not saved. Some of you say, "Well, I believe all those things, but you're not saved." You believe there's a heaven. You believe there's a hell. You believe in the holiness of God. You believe in the power of God. But you're still not saved. Why? You don't have a faith that works. It's the wrong kind of faith. It's the same faith that devils have. Isn't this something? Demons are smarter than atheists. Really, they believe. They have sense enough to believe because they know their time is limited. Their days are numbered. Their power can only go so long and so far. And when Christ says, "That's enough, that's enough," they believe. You ever think about that? The devil believes all of those things, but he's not saved. Why? You have to have a dynamic faith. He says, a faith that is alive is a faith that is coupled by works. Let men see your good deeds. Let them see your works and that you glorify Christ. For heaven's sake, if you've got faith, do something. Do something. Say something. Let people know what you are and what you believe. And of all things, he gives the perfect illustration in verse 23 and verse 25. Abraham and Rahab. Both, he's talking about their faith worked. But you never saw people that were any more the opposite than Abraham and Rahab. Abraham was a Jew. Rahab was a Gentile. Abraham was a man. Rahab was a woman. Abraham was moral. Rahab was immoral. Abraham was a patriarch. Rahab was a prostitute. Did you know she was even known as a harlot by others after that the Lord delivered her and her family? It's not until you get to Matthew that finally you read that she's no longer recognized with the tag of a harlot. When you get to Matthew's genealogy, the word Rahab the harlot falls off. Everybody knew her by what she was and what she'd been. Somebody said, "Why isn't it mentioned as a harlot in Matthew?" Because that was after the wedding. Thank God, after she met the right man, after the marriage took place, everything she'd done in her past is now gone. As a Gentile, she was brought in because she had faith that works. You need faith that works. Not just faith of the mouth and faith of the head. Not even just faith of the heart. Faith that works. Now, as I travel and preach, a lot of people think the works is what maintains your faith. No. They start together, they live together, they end together. Faith that works will take you through life. Faith that works will bring you out of sin. Faith that works will change your life. Faith that works will keep you through life. Faith that works will work in the hour of death. It is a faith that keeps working. Faith that works is good when hard times come. Faith that works is good when blessed times come. Faith that works is there when you have a job. And faith that works is still good when you don't have a job. Faith that works is good when you're well in body. And faith that works is good when you're sick in body. A faith that works. So everyone here tonight, You've either got dead faith, you've got demonic faith. I didn't say you were a demon. I said you're believing like the demons believe. It's intellectual. And it's emotional. They believe intellectually. And they tremble emotionally. See, I've seen it work both ways. I've seen people that's emotional and people that's not emotional. Thank God He put that in there. Some of you, you don't run the house. But you have just as much faith as someone that does run the house. Lively faith isn't how much noise you make. It is faith that works. Faith that works. You may be quiet as can be, but still have faith that works. It is awareness that my loved ones need to know that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. Faith that works. Faith that works. Your family deserves to know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. Your neighbors deserve to know that you're a Christian, that you love the Lord and that your life has changed. Your children deserve to see a change in your life. Faith that works. Not faith that comes and says, I'm going to keep doing the same sinful things. Faith that works. Faith that works is daily. You don't store it up by doing one good deed one week, one day, one month, one time. You say, now wait a minute, you all do a lot of works. Yes, but it's consistent. Daily, weekly. Faith that works. Faith that works. Do you have dynamic faith? That's the only faith that works. Your heads are bowed, they're getting ready to come. Sing a song. Faith that works. Glory to God. Faith that works. Could you say, like James, I'll show you my faith by my works. My works prove that I have faith. Not working to gain faith. And not faith trying to get by without working. Faith that works. I heard one individual say that today in America, for every 100 professions of faith, that in 7 years, only 3 of them remain in the church out of 100. Think about that. Do you know how many hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people make professions of faith here in this country? But they never pray, they never read their Bible, they never darken anybody's church door, they never tell anyone that they're saved. Could it be that they just wanted out of their problems and not out of their sin? Could it be that they didn't want to really change?